Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show that is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. This show is part of the Cross Politic Network, soon to be the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Go over to crosspolitic.com, become a member. When you go to become a member, put in HDBT, just like it says on this mug, and you will get one of these mugs. You can still see my freshly brewed steaming coffee. Oh, these mugs are great. I love them. They fit my big, fat, bare hands. You like put a large cup of Keurig coffee in this, and it barely even fills up halfway. So it has plenty of room for all of the fluid that you may require. You get one of these when you sign up for any of the subscription levels, plus all of the other benefits that come along with being a Cross Politic Fight, Laugh, Feast member. You get great Bible study content, exclusive show content, and we're putting out so many more things to come this year. I'm really excited about it. In fact, I have a business meeting after this recording to go talk about some of the member benefits that are going to be coming out. Don't miss it. Come alongside of us as we are proclaiming the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. And you get to be partnering with us. You get to be part of what the Lord is doing. You've seen all the new shows that we've been rolling out. We are just being so blessed right now by God. And He's bringing great new show content, great new shows, great new people, great new personalities. I was trying to say something else besides personalities, but I guess that's what you call them, right? We are personalities in front of a camera. It's really exciting. So you get to be part of it by coming alongside of us and supporting us. Pray about it. Pray for us. And go become a member. Get blessed and bless us at the same time. It's a win-win. If you have any questions or comments, show topics you want to reach out to me about, anything you disagree with me about, I love to hear from you. I'm a big fan of debate, healthy debate, not character assassinations, attacking one's person, but having good, healthy pushback. I love it. So if there is anything that you disagree with or you're not quite sure about what I said, I would love to hear from you. You can find me, matt@howtobuildatent.com, matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can email me. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Give me a follow. If you're listening to this live streaming, 12 p.m. Pacific, on the Cross Politic channels, please share it, like it, tag a friend. That really helps get the word out. And I just thank you for doing that. I know you guys are doing that because these numbers are growing like crazy and I don't spend any money on advertising, so it's all word of mouth. And that is really exciting. Currently, I have the most listened to show with the new metrics we have. So we are number one. Little friendly taunt to the other shows. Today, I'm gonna talk about a story that happened over the weekend for us as a family. It happened to my mother-in-law, actually. And it was just such a great illustration of what it's like to work in government. And this is so for you that are wondering, what is it like to work in government? Why is government so inefficient? If you're considering a career in government or you do work for government, you probably will relate to some of the things we're going to talk about. So we're going to get into that show as well. Before we do, I want to remind you that February is almost over, which means you have 1 month left before you can submit, you run out of time to submit your business plan for the business plan contest. If you have a company, if you have an idea that you're thinking about starting a company, a business plan is the first step. If you are in a big corporation and you want to network, find reasons to get to know people in other departments, maybe you're curious about exactly how the other departments work, other divisions work within your company, this is a great opportunity for you as well. So think about it, pray about it, and then do it because it's going to be really beneficial for you. Submit your business plan to me by March 31st. What happens, I will pick, depending on how long it takes to review all of them, because business plans can be pretty intensive, I will pick the best one, we'll announce it on the show, and the winner will get to come on the show and advertise their business, their product, their corporation for free. And that's to thousands and thousands of you, because this show is growing, because you're sharing the show, you're talking about the show. I really appreciate that. That's so awesome. I just can't get enough of that. And you get a swag bag full of HTBT stuff, like that cool mug, some hats, some shirts, some onesies if you have some kids. I'll personalize it to whoever wins for their needs. I'm not going to give you baby stuff if you don't have babies. So really think about entering that business plan. I really want to encourage you to do that, especially if you're thinking about doing a side hustle, your own business, or you have your own small business. This is going to be really great for you guys. If you have not done a business plan, it really does take a lot of work, but it really does pay off because it makes you think through things that you maybe would have overlooked. We have a tendency to favor our strengths and just focus on those, which is good, and then you delegate and hire the rest. But when you're planning, when you're working on your processes, your flows, and how your company operates, there's some things that could be left out, and a business plan really makes you methodically think through those things. And we're going to get into later this week some more aspects of the business plan. We've already talked about the marketing and the operations. We're going to get to the rest of the pieces as well. So you'll have the shows to review. You'll see what I'm looking for in each of these sections, and you can just blow me away with an amazing business plan. All right, so the story that I want to talk to you about today is a true story. It really happened. It's a really short story. I'm more building up the story than how long the story even is, but it's so instructive. It's so eye-opening. It's so revealing to just the mentality of a lot of people in government. And as with every generality, there is exceptions, but for the most part, this is true. There are tons of smart people in government. There's a lot of smart people in government. I shouldn't say tons. But in all of the governments in the United States, and this is specifically for the United States, I know there's a lot of you listening around the world. I don't know about your governments. I'm not an expert in those. But in the United States, there are smart people in government because there is power in government. And this is true around the world. And so smart people who want power go into government to get it. So there are a lot of smart people. But there are also a lot of incompetent, lazy, dumb people as well. Why is that? Because they're almost impossible to fire in the United States. So you have this really interesting mix of smart people trying to climb the ladder, trying to gain power and influence, which makes them sound dark and evil, and a lot of them are. And then you got these other people that are just looking for an easy show up to work, punch in, and then punch out, and then walk away. And that is basically how our government's made up of. And it's funny because there's a big stigma, or not a stigma, but there is this perception in our government that the people that are running things, the people that are making decisions, are all really smart, above average, better than the average American. And it's just not true. It's the people that are looking for power. It's people that are looking to punch the time clock and then punch out. Now, again, there are exceptions. There are good people. There are people that are honest. There are people that are trying to do good work in our different agencies. I'm not knocking them. My family is a military family. Definitely not knocking them. But what I'm just saying is the overall is this mix of people wanting power and then people who are wanting an easy job they're not going to get fired from and they're checking the box. Or if there are people that came in thinking they were going to change government, get burned out and then turn into those people that are just punching the clock. So my mother-in-law, mi suegra, for those Spanish-speaking listeners, we were at the grocery store called the commissary. And a commissary is basically a grocery store that has cheaper prices than everywhere else on military bases for military personnel to shop at. There was one product that mi suegra was looking for. And she asked one of the clerks, like, what happened to this product that used to be here? I always tried to get here. Sometimes it was sold out, but now I don't even see it on the shelves anymore. And this is what the store clerk told her. She said, oh, we kept selling out of that, so we just decided to stop carrying it. A product kept selling out. And what was this government-run grocery store's solution? Just to stop selling it. What company in the private sector would be in business still if that was their mentality? What employee would still have a job? What manager, what product manager, whoever was over those stores, the general manager, who would keep their job if their response to having a product that sells too good was to discontinue it because it just kept selling out? They couldn't keep it on the shelves. That is incredible on so many levels. Now, that is just one product on a grocery store. It's not that significant. But if you take a moment to start thinking about that from healthcare to economics to any of these things, insurance, like other's insurance, car insurance, the DMV, the hospital, whatever area that these socialists and these liberals are trying to take over now, applying that mentality to those areas, it's incredibly scary. For those of you thinking about working in the government, this is what mentality that you are going to be faced with. And you are going to have to find ways to motivate people like this. You're going to have to find ways to tweak the system within the system, working through the system to create change. It might take you many, many years to get to a position where you can influence this bureaucratic change, to change processes, to change the culture of different areas of our government. But their solution was to just stop carrying it because they could never keep it on the shelves anyways. Absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And they want to take over all areas of our lives. It's a great story to piggyback off of our last episode. Because what does people want to do? What do these socialists, what do these liberals want to do? They want to make decisions for all of us from a government high hill in Washington, D.C., from the capitals of the states. And these are the decision makers. These are the people that are going to work like this. Now, again, not everyone's like this, but this is a great example of what a lot of government workers are being like. So what would be the private sector solution to that? If you've been listening to this show for a long time, you know. Private economies ration things through price. What does that mean? It means simply this. If you keep selling out of a product, what do? You do two things. First, you raise prices. And you raise prices because you want to increase profits. And the price point that you have it at is too low for the quantity that you have to provide to the people that are demanding the product. Because demand, again, is two components. One is the ability and two, the willingness. And obviously, there's a large amount of people who are demanding that product because they have the ability and they have the demand, they have the desire to buy it. So the grocery store in a private market, in a private sector, would raise prices. And if they kept selling out even still, they would want to supply more because prices are increasing, more supply is being willing to be produced of that product, and then people will start to see the product on the shelves again, and the supermarket and the person who created the product will both increase their profits, generating money to invest in capital, to expand products, to produce more products, and to provide value to the people wanting to buy it. Because there are a large group of people who were not getting that product because they kept running out. But now they will have the option to get it, although it is at a higher price. That is how economies grow so rapidly. That is how America was able to become where they were, opposed to the mentality of, we just stopped carrying it. And why would they do that? Because government workers don't get rewarded, for the most part, on their performance. They get rewarded based on how long they've been there, seniority. And then they get pay increases, and you have to be at a certain position for so many years before you can get promoted. What is the incentive of a government employee to work harder to put more products on the shelves? And also, they may not have the ability to raise prices because the commissary is price controlled. Their mission is to create affordable products for the military housing. Now, I'm not arguing that the commissary should raise prices and to make money off of our soldiers and the military and the people that use the commissary, because they have a different purpose. But governments think that way. Governments have price controls. Governments don't supply products based on demand and then adjust prices accordingly. They tell you what you want. They tell you what price you're going to pay. There is no response to demand in prices. And that is one of the biggest problems that government has. And that is the problem that gets carried over to what other sectors they want to go into, whether it be insurance, whether they want it to be real estate, whether it be your retirement plans and your Social Security. If you noticed, those things aren't doing too well right now. And the government has a big part to play in the reason why. And another big thing that if you are thinking about going into government that you have to understand is different from the private sector is budgets. And a budget is justified in the government by how much of the money you spent. And so there is this incessant need, there is this rush to spend all the money you're allotted, because if you don't spend it, then your budget is going to be cut. So there's no incentive in saving money. There's no incentive on cutting back what you're spending. No, you have to spend it all because you won't get more the next budget. And that is how governments get bloated too. Opposed to a private sector company who often cuts their budget to be more efficient, to be able to be more competitive in the market. A government doesn't have to be competitive. They have a sword to wield. And that is what makes it so dangerous as well. And another thing is when governments do cut things, quote unquote, you often will hear about this from politicians that, oh, we cut spending. They don't really mean they cut spending. They rarely cut spending. But what they do is they cut the rate of growth that spending is increasing. That is not the same as cutting spending. And this is a great equivocation that happens, that politicians created, is that when they say we are cutting government spending, they're not saving money. They're not spending less than they did the year before. They are just not spending as much as they planned on spending in the next fiscal year. So if they were going to spend 3% more next year, but instead decided to only spend 2% more, they cut 1% in their mind. They didn't cut anything. They just grew by 2% instead of 3%. And that's a very different thing than cutting back spending. And I'd only bring that up because with the amount of debt that we have in our government today, 20-something trillion, is it? Something like that. We're at a rate where we are going to have to truly cut rates. So when your politicians, wherever they are, start talking about cutting, you need to hold their feet to their fire. You need to call them, you need to email them. And trust me, it works. It works really well when you call them, when you email them, because not that many people do it, and that makes your voice that much louder. You need to hold them accountable to start cutting these national budgets so that we can start getting that debt down. And why is that important? It's important because the higher the debt goes for the nation, the higher it's going to be, the higher interest rates are going to be for us to borrow loans in the private sector, for us as individuals, for us as businesses, to borrow money to create more value to the economy. And that large debt that is looming over our heads is making us poorer. It's making it harder for us to create value to the people in our communities, the people, our customers that we're selling to. That is another big obstacle in the way of people that are looking to reform government, to go work in government, is budgets, is the mentality of people like this grocery store worker, this commissary worker. So I hope that gives you a little insight. We always hear the rhetoric of, you know, big government is bad and governments are inefficient, they shouldn't be doing anything. But we rarely get into the details of why governments are so terrible at doing things. And I hope that gave you some insight into that one is there's little incentive to perform well because you don't get fired. You get bonuses for just being there for seniority, not necessarily for performance. And also you are rewarded for spending all of your budget with budget increases the next year. And those are big, big things that have major ramifications that make government's so much less efficient than the private sector who has to compete, that has to look for ways to cut costs, to increase profits. And that is how value is created and generated in economies. You are able to produce things of value cheaper and cheaper. And if you've noticed, throughout the life cycle of products, they get cheaper and cheaper to produce in a private economy. If you have any questions, comments, please reach out to me. Please share the show, like it. Follow me on How to Build a Tent. Email me, Matt, howtobuildatent.com, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.